Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Viz Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Right, well, let's get started then. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade. I have three lovely guests with me. My first guest is the brilliant hot new comic that is Kate Martin, who was in a competition that I thought she should have won. So I booked her for this. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm very well. And this is the best prize I could have ever got.
It's nice to lie like that. I appreciate it.
Welcome. I've been practicing all day.
It shows. It was very authentic. I know it. Yeah, I know you don't mean it, but I still got a warm, fuzzy glow. So that was fine. And we have the brilliant, the other half of the Vegan Idiots. I've completed the set. Carl Donnelly, how are you doing?
Hey, sorry. How are we? I'm good. Thank you. I did that wrong way around. I asked how you were, and then I said, I'm good. Thank you.
We're all really good at social interaction now, aren't we?
I'm drinking a 7% Canadian beer. So, you know, this could get loose. It's got a good name. Look, it's called
A Man Who Doesn't Care About Carbon Footprint. Clearly.
Gooseboon.
It's a gooseboon. I'm drinking a gooseboon. Everyone's favourite lager.
Is that your first one?
It's my first ever one, actually. A friend of mine, it was my birthday in January, and he dropped off at my house, did like a drive-by, and just dropped a crate of 24 self-curated world beers for me. And this is actually, I'm down to like the last couple. I save the gooseboon to the end, as we all should.
Is it nice?
It's lovely. Do you know what? It's got a little sourness to it. It almost tastes a little bit like a cider or a perry for any pear cider lovers. But it is very nice. I'm into it. It doesn't taste 7%. It's a real, I'd say this would be a real landmine on a night out when you think, oh, that's refreshing. Yeah. And next thing you're throwing a chair through a pub window.
I miss that so much. Every single element you just described.
I miss needless violence too.
I'm from South Wales. That was an average Friday night. I'm doing South Wales a disservice. It wasn't just Friday. Anyway, and the last but not least, the exquisitely squeaky clean Tom Deacon, because you emailed me earlier and asked if you should shower for the occasion, and I gave the go ahead. So,
yeah, that is true. I thought, do you know what? Are we going to be in vision? Is this just sound audio? Or was it both the same thing? But I was just concerned that I hadn't showered. And not only am I worried about it, my girlfriend's worried about it. I'm sort of having a shower every other day. But I've broken the cycle. I've now had a shower yesterday and today. But, you know, I'd like to put the effort in.
It shows. You've all made the effort. Are you all suitably clean?
I couldn't answer that because... The gooseboon was repeating on me. it's quite gaseous, so, you know.
Well, that is something for us all to look forward to. What an audio delight that will be later on.
It depends what standards you're comparing it to. For now, I think I'm pretty clean and scrubbed up, but I mean, compared to the before times, who knows where that would rate.
Are we all wearing trousers?
Yes.
Nice.
I'm actually wearing trousers. I'm not, it's not a jean. I'm wearing a trouser tonight.
Not loungewear.
Not loungewear. I'm wearing a brown chino. I think I dressed better at home during, since lockdown, I've dressed better than I would normally going out pre-pandemic.
Yeah, people are going to be surprised by me when I make my return to the office. I've been doing drag queen makeup tutorials. I am ready.
Can I ask general feeling on the fact that I am wearing leisure wear? I'm wearing an athletic top, which is Adidas, and then the below half is tracky bottoms, but are made from Under Armour. Is that acceptable? Is that still allowed? You know, I'm in my 30s now. Can I wear two different brands? Is that still bothering people?
I don't think you should ever mix up a tracksuit personally. But, you know, that is very much my old school views, old fashioned views. I'm not ashamed of them. Yeah, I'm from a different time.
I'd say it was a bold choice.
It is
bold, I think. But Adidas and Under Armour. Adidas is a sports brand that is fashion as well.
Yeah,
Under Armour
very...
is very much, yeah, I do CrossFit and I'm a wanker.
It's very preppy, the top half of that. So I'm surprised that you've got some like heavy duty.
Well, my girlfriend said you've not showered properly more as frequently as you should do, and I'd like you to. And also, you're not wearing colourful things. You keep wearing black. So can you wear this pink jacket? And I said, you're right. People deserve that. Again, for a podcast.
I can see the beauty in that. That's fine. I am enjoying it. So, right, let's get the ball going. The ball does actually exist that I get the topics from.
Cool.
Oh.
Did you own that prior to starting this podcast?
No, but I had to retrofit a reason to have it.
Right.
I wanted it. My husband said, you will get no use out of it. And I was like, watch me now. So I designed the whole concept to own this.
How often do you play with your balls?
Well, daily lately. You know,
have you
got
cleaned
a lot
your
on
balls? That's something I'm concerned about.
They are quite sticky. Because it took me ages to work out how the machine properly worked, and the balls would just all spill out onto the floor at a regular basis, and then the cats would lick them, and they're all, well, you don't need to know that. No.
Is that the level, Vix, of this? I mean, I have heard other shows of this podcast, but just...
Liar.
I have. Paul McCaffrey, it's a brilliant one. Hearing a story about you and diarrhea in the Ivy is absolutely up there. Thoroughly enjoyed that on a run.
Big sharer.
Thank you. It was a gorgeous image. But I watched something on Netflix today about the glass blowers. And when they said there's glory holes, right? That's it. I was gone. I was lost. How many glory holes? One room? Beautiful.
Well, the level is John Robertson. Basically, he did a whole thing at Christmas that I had to do a bit of a focus group on WhatsApp. Like, is shoving prawns up your ass, then taking them out of your ass and hanging them on a Christmas tree, is that too much, guys? And they all backed that it was fine. So I gave the people what they wanted. The prawny ass tree. But it sounded better when he said it because he had an Australian accent. So that happens.
That is not a bauble. That shouldn't be on.
It should not. I'm still quite traumatized about it. It was actually a heartwarming story about how me and my mum have a prawn ring every year as part of our Christmas traditions. And it has been perverted beyond repair.
Yes.
I can't buy that again.
Go to his house and have one of those because you'll not get what you expect.
It needs renaming that, doesn't it?
Yeah. But he is the smut level, basically. There is a lot of headroom for this. The people wanted it. What can I say? Right. Anyway.
So you're telling us, get your grot out, is what you're saying. People want filth.
I don't think anything is funnier. It was a shame that this isn't a proper video podcast that everyone can watch, because nothing was funnier than watching Paul McCaffrey's face when Molly Mulshine said her vagina had swelled up. Like, genuinely, there were so many emotions. He was like, I don't know what the appropriate response to this is. It was beautiful. It's like, do I laugh? Am I supportive? What am I doing? What do you want me to do? What is a man meant to do in this conversation? It was a beautiful thing and unexpected. But anyway, the ball is unpopular opinions.
Who goes first?
You've got a podcast about, well, called Two Vegan Idiots, so you arguably have staked a career in it.
Yeah, my lifestyle is an unpopular opinion, so I can say I'm happy to discuss my veganism as a... It's not as unpopular as it was when I started being one.
You hipster vegan.
I got way in before vegan fried chicken and all that nonsense.
You were in the trenches when it was just quinoa.
Oh my god, I was in the trenches when there wasn't even a section in the supermarket where you could actually... I was in the trenches where if I was away gigging out of London or a major city, I was eating a pack of crisps for dinner. So, you know what I mean? There was nothing in the city. But I'm resenting the fact that all these young'uns have jumped on our bandwagon. I think they're pushing the cause in the right direction. But I'm a vegan. I'm very proud of being a vegan. I'm not proud. I mean, yeah, I don't wear a t-shirt with it on. But, you know, I think it's...
Not ever?
I mean, I have got a couple of t-shirts. But they were gifts from vegan brands. And they very much are they're painting t-shirts. You know, t-shirts you've got for a bit of DIY or gardening. They're not getting rocked out.
Should you be ashamed to wear your vegan t-shirt anywhere other than DIY?
Yeah, not because it says vegan so much, but just they... I don't know if you've ever... Vegans aren't good at designing clothing. I'm going to say that, you know.
I've never heard this take, but I love it.
Captions. We're not good at captions. They're always a bit cheesy and shit and worthy. Like, you know, so...
Their retail shopping down, Carl, just out of curiosity, you know, as a festival going comedian and performing there.
It's my retail shopping.
A lot of their
down.
Clobber is sold, isn't it? And if there's no festivals, you know, they've got a lot of backlogged stock somewhere.
Yeah. The amount of tote bags with like a cow saying, "I am not a dinner." It's just through. There'll be literally warehouses full of them, mate, just gathering dust.
All my Hessian bags are gin based, gin o'clock.
Yeah, I hate gin. I don't think that's... I mean, that's probably not an unpopular opinion. It probably is. I mean, the fact that they're so popular, you go past any of those shops, you know, them shops that just sell greeting cards, like sort of big wooden letters. No, that's them shops.
Yeah.
They always just sell everything is, you know, it's gin time and, oh, is it Prosecco today? And it's like, I hate that. It's probably not... I'd say a lot of people would agree, so it's not an unpopular opinion, but if you actually follow the money, it's probably a slightly unpopular opinion that people that have anything that is like Prosecco o'clock on their wall need to be murdered.
That's my opinion. I think that is quite a popular opinion about those kind of slogans.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
When you accidentally rant to it to someone whose house is full of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Somebody who's got like a live, love, like clock. And you're like, you need to go fuck yourself.
Slogans about how sunrises change their life. And, oh, I love the smell of rain. Knob off.
Like, just breathe. Yeah. Just breathe, Kate. Kate, just breathe. If you weren't doing it already, just breathe, yeah?
Yeah. Listeners can't see it, but she's upset.
Yeah. I read an amazing book called Breathe during lockdown, and it's about how we all breathe wrong, and it's brilliant and a great book, but also part of you thinks we should know this. Do you know what I mean? So, yes. That word worthiness is, I suppose, that's what I'm not a fan of. But even though everyone says, you should just be nice. Be nice. If you've not got nothing good to say, don't say it at all. What's the point?
Be yourself, which is terrible advice because a lot of people are assholes.
Absolutely.
Where does regret come from? Oh, I followed that. Brilliant. Great. Well, now I regret it. I was myself again. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Oh, by the way, on that subject, I'm still waiting. The local shop that you're exactly talking about, Carl, I'm still waiting on a T. We've got the G from a girlfriend. And oddly enough, we are G and T. My name initials T, hers is G. We're still waiting on the T.
Oh my God.
So you just got gin. No tonic,
your
mate.
Wedding
straight up.
Your wedding will have the most annoying favours of any wedding ever. Little bottles of gin and tonic. Yeah.
This is a little takeaway. Thanks for coming. Here's a little bottle of gin and tonic.
They won't be bottles, though. They'll be jam jars.
Oh God.
With hand-picked flowers,
yeah,
and mismatching chairs, and all the other vintage. You're going to get all the slogans given to you in wedding presents. Like, your house is going to be furnished in what we've just described.
Oh, God. Yeah. And your wedding's going to be in a barn.
Yeah. the thing is, I hammered the podcast really hard amongst friends and family, and now I can't make fun of them, so I can't tell you what my worst presents have been. But there are some of them here.
Could you, like, slowly turn the camera around and just pan and see if you can spot them?
I used to love working in John Lewis when people would come in with a wedding list. Like, you'd get, they'd be sent the wedding list, and to you, the couples are miles away, but you just got people really angry about what's already gone off the list. We were trying to get the toilet brush holder. Oh, that's already gone. We're not getting a microwave. You know, people just getting really annoyed.
We all want the second cheapest, don't we?
Yeah.
It's like with bottles of wine on a menu. It's just like, oh no, not that one. Just the next one up. Like, that looks nice. The salt and pepper shakers. How much are they individually?
We didn't go. It was very early in lockdown. It was a wedding that was cancelled, but they kept the wedding list going. They had like a Zoom thing, and we nailed it with, we managed to get salad spoons, then big two, just the two massive tong things.
That's the dream gift.
Ideal. Yeah. It wasn't the worst, but it's, you know, it's crap, but needed. That's what you want.
Table.
Yeah, definitely.
Something you wouldn't buy yourself. That's the dream.
I've got two sets.
My friend's wedding, she had like these like plant pots. She decorated it herself, all these plant pots with like herbs and little flowers in, and each one had a tag on it that said, "Please take me home." Oh. And I was like, well, if it can work for a plant, I'll try it on me. So I pinned one to myself. And my friend, who is the definition of literal, came up to me and looked at it and said, "What? What's this?" And I was like, well, sweetheart, if it can work for the plants, maybe it'll work for me. Maybe I'll get lucky. And she was like, but I mean, do you think this will work? Because, I mean, if you really want to find a woman, you're going to have to make her feel special. And I just don't get it. And I'm like, no, it's a joke. And she's like, but, I mean, really, though, do you think this is going to work? And by the end of the night, right, I had all of them pinned all over me. And she came, like, every plant pot, like 50 tags. And she came up to me about 2 a.m. and she went, has it worked? And I was like, no, it's not quite the point.
Sure. You know, at a certain point of a wedding when you're single, sometimes available is very sexy.
Like, I mean, available at 2 a.m. with 50 tags on it taking me home still didn't work. So it clearly wasn't actually that sexy at all.
You are going to the wrong weddings.
I've been to a few where they have you can write a little message and they put them in a bottle and they'll open them in 5 years' time or a 10 years' time or a 2 year.
That's it's just all right.
Have you seen this? Because the amount everyone on the table is egging each other on, just write it. No, I'm not doing that. 5 years, you know, the classic, didn't think you'd last this long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're safe for 5 years until they crack that bad boy open.
Yeah. And realistically, they're not gonna. That's yeah. Going in the bin. When you it's look at that, opened. When you move in and you look at that and go, do I need to take this to a new home? Nah, you do not. It's a waste of space.
What a thoughtful gift. Thank you so much, Finn.
Yeah. So hang on. So the unpopular opinions.
We've
all just basically agreed that weddings can fuck off.
I know. I haven't missed them this year.
No. I think they used to be all right. I remember going to weddings that were just like, you know, I live in London. It was just in London. But now, then there was a period about 10 years ago when it all shifted and everyone suddenly decided, we're getting married out in Cambridgeshire in a, you know, an old farm. And it's like, what happened? Yeah, and you had to stay there for 3 days.
Yeah, and there's nowhere to stay that's not stupidly expensive.
No.
And the bar's not free and it's cash only because they don't pay tax. And you find that out when you're there, when you've got to hand your card open. They're like, oh, no, cash only. What?
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
You're saying that, Carl. Went to one in Wales, so that was quite a commitment. I know where you're from, Vic, so I'm not going to knock Wales. But they had a pizza, like a proper Italian Napoli style pizza van at the end of the night, so like for like nibbles and snacks, just popping out pizzas. Unbelievable wedding. I love pizza, I love drinking, this is great, an absolute result. And George kept saying to me that it's supposed to be sort of one pizza for one person. I was like, well, some of them aren't taking the slices, so yeah. I'll have their portion as well.
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant wedding. So if actually you take away the accommodation, how much that cost, the amount of pizza I ate, it all adds up together, doesn't it? Does anyone else look at the cost of the wedding, what you're putting in, what you're getting out?
I suppose you do get given food. I should clarify. I'm not begrudging every part of it, but then I've had to survive certain vegan meals at weddings, which only in the last couple of years have wedding chefs worked out how to cook for vegans. It used to be you'd get given a vegetarian meal and it clearly was a goat cheese tart and you'd have to say, that's not vegan. And the chef would be like, what are you talking about? And then so you just basically would just be hungry. Basically, yeah, if you're a vegan going to a wedding before about 5 years ago, you just had to bring your own food.
Whereas I always go for the vegetarian choice because they don't make a lot of them. And so they're really fresh and they put the effort in.
It is always a goat's cheese tart. That's the only thing. Yeah. Every wedding I've ever been to, that was the vegetarian option.
It's a mushroom, but it's well cooked and it's not dry. So that used to be my favourite hack when I got to go out. Because I do PR as a day job. Unbelievably, this doesn't pay. And I used to go to loads of black tie events, mainly with men, on their one night out a year. Where they got to put their black tie on, they were on a pass, and they were going absolutely mental. It was horrendous. But did I have a well-cooked mushroom? Yes, I did, every time. Did I see acts like Rob Deering phoning in their corporates? Yes, I also did. It really made me want to do comedy. When you see them out there, no one's listening.
Oh. That's just not like material written for you in real time.
Them sorts of big black tie corporates are the worst. They're literally like comedy suicide. I did one once where it looked hard and I'm sitting there and I just asked about it and the guy went, oh yeah, no, we have a comedian every year. And I was like, oh great. And I went, who was here last year? He went, John Bishop. Yeah, and he died. And I was like, oh my god. I'm about to eat poo for 20 minutes. It wasn't an easy gig.
Has one ever surprised you in being good, or are they just all
totally? Yeah, obviously. I mean, yeah, you get the odd ones where it's just weirdly fun, and like you're like, oh, actually, I shouldn't judge them. And then the next one, you literally have people just looking at each other, going, "Who is this wanker?" So you just, you know, you can never ever prejudge them fully. It's best to go in thinking it's going to be hard and be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I got caught out that way. Too excited. Knew I was getting some good dollar for it. Got there. They were 20 meters away from me. And the guy said, you're going to do 40 minutes, but don't worry. And he already pre-emailed me everyone's name in the company, facts about them, say this about this person. And I thought, he's given me the golden ticket. I've got everyone. Started with one of these comments about the Russian owner. Silence. Oh. I mean, it was a painful death. So eventually someone stood up and burst the balloon on their table, which made a loud bang, which everyone turned around and cheered. Oh, they're horrible. Really
should have pretended it was a gunshot and just gone to ground.
Yes. Basically, I've been shot. You're dying, mate. They're shooting at you.
It's fatal. It is a critical hit. There is no coming back.
But the thing is, I left after 20 minutes and said, this has been an absolute delight. I lied, you know, professional. And then the woman who was organizing like what I was doing came over and she says, right, you've done 20. You're going to go back on and do another 20 because you got 40. And I went, no, that is not a crowd for me. And the fact is, they didn't even get free drinks and their staff do. And yet they paid for me to come along. I was not the right booking for that. No.
Zoom corporates are just as bad. That's even worse though, because you don't know what's going on. So I did 10 minutes of material on young men who start companies and dickheads startups. And then lo and behold, there he was, the chief executive, a child, right at the end.
I died in December at Christmas. I died so hard at the BT Openreach Christmas gig that it was out of control. Like, it was me and Sarah Keyworth. I can't remember who was on after me. Sarah Keyworth was hosting. I was on first. And I was watching Sarah Keyworth hate every minute of it. And then she introduced me early. Like, she did. She was meant to do 10 to 15. I was going to do 20. And she when I heard it, her going, right, I might get your first act on at like 6.5 minutes. I was like, this is crap. They were so not up for it. And then I treaded water. Like, it was honestly like doing a gig to like 25, because there was about 100 people, but like 25 were the front row and they were unmuted. And every one of them just checking their phones, just looking down like that. every now and again looking up, and they were guaranteed they were in a WhatsApp group and they were all talking about me.
I mean, I don't think they were. I think they just weren't listening.
Oh my God. They hated it. And every time I tried to engage somebody to get something happening, they were just like, what? Like, what? Like, why are you talking to me? And then I managed to do 17 minutes and I finished. And then, yeah, Sarah Keyworth told me afterwards she felt guilty for bringing me on. Like, that's how bad it was.
But what else could she have done? Looked at your little window and gone, oh, Carl's dropped out, I'm afraid.
Yeah, Carl's having an internet problem. No, but I mean, it was, I felt guilty for handing back to her. It was that bad a gig. And I left so quick.
Online gigs are terrible though, aren't they? Because sometimes you just want everyone to be on mute because then you can think, oh, everyone's on mute, but they're fucking loving it. There's nothing worse than one polite titter in the abyss.
Yeah. So
just to show everything's on, is harrowing.
You started this whole podcast, Vix, by saying about Kate and how she should have won the award. And I agree. I didn't see it, but you should have won that competition.
Well, that's what I like. Then.
But...
the winner was also good, but she wasn't you.
As good.
No.
But my point is we try and do our best on a night, and some Zoom gigs are just not going to work, where actually the boss of one company doing a corporate in December, you could audibly hear him say, I'm not paying for this. So that was painful. But I can never forget, because you turn up to these corporates, you know you're being paid well, you want to deliver. Flights up to Scotland, right in Glasgow, at this massive conference for the local Scottish Retailers of the Year award. I'm not Scottish, I'll point that out.
Point that out really quickly.
No, even with a pink jacket on, not Scottish. Hazel Irvine was hosting it and was killing it, properly killing it. Popping out some absolute zingers, right? My unpopular opinion is about Marmite, and she did a Marmite joke, and she said, oh, I want a year's supply. I still don't know where to put that jar. Boom! The crowd is lifted. People were lifting the tables, going, let's carry her out. The Messiah is here.
I'm going to give you points for someone else's joke.
At which point, I'm thinking, I do not have material like this. Why have they booked me? Apparently my agent said they expressively, you know, they wanted you to perform. And I was thinking, that means they want to see my stuff about me. They do not want to see that. Again, supposed to do 20 minutes, 10 minutes. I walked off. That's me. It was a wrap. This has been a brilliant gig. Always end with the same line. And as I walk off, Hazel Irvine, who does all the hosting of the snooker and sports, just looks at me and just does a shrug and like, oh, well, you sucked. And that look stayed with me all my life. I annoyed Hazel Irvine.
It's before you go to sleep at night. It's just there.
Hazel, please forgive me.
I just like deserves like a moment of silence just to sit and honour that moment of that loss.
There's been a murder. Well, sometimes the people that book comedians are just big fans and they don't really take in the consequence of what they've done. So that happened to me when I booked John Richardson. I've talked about it in a previous podcast. I thought he was amazing, but we're in this massive hangar of a museum. This is when I was a PR assistant. I had one job, to book the comedian. No one enjoyed it. It's the short answer to that. And he enjoyed it so little that he then dragged it to hell at a Glee Club gig he did in Cardiff a few weeks later. Excellent. That I was at. So sometimes you just misjudge it. You just don't call the room. He's got such an intense energy. It was not the right thing. Everyone was really drunk. And as a fan, I was sat at the table as well, trying to shush people because it was my fault he was having a bad gig. So it's like,
and there's nothing more funny or like there's going to get people laughing more than being shushed, is there? I mean, that's comedy gold.
On a bender. Yeah.
Are you listening and paying attention?
This bit's really good. I've heard this before. Shh. Yeah. But I couldn't do that to 80 people. It was a very local impact, so I think two or three were quiet, but it didn't help. But one day we'll meet again and I will apologize properly. But until that day, I'll just keep putting it on the podcast and hope one day he listens. John Richardson, I'm very sorry. The fee was good though.
It sounds like you've tried to book him, Vix, to do your podcast.
That's why you set this podcast up. It's a long-term apology.
One day I will. day I will have the audacity to book him. I won't mention any contest. I'll wait until we're face to face. I'll be like, John, remember me? No, you don't. Let me talk to you about where we met.
And then just as you start recording, just open it up and it's a massive 200 person Zoom webinar with all the same audience.
Well, you can try again.
So does anyone have any actual unpopular opinions, or are we just going to continue to have this nice chat? Because I'm into it, but...
podcasts are shit. Joking.
Ooh.
I love a podcast.
She went there.
But you say that. I don't really listen to many podcasts, and I do them. Do you know what? I don't listen to any comedy podcasts. I listen to a couple of ones that are more sort of news or opinion-y, but even though I've sort of, you know, I do comedy podcasts, I couldn't listen back to ours. Even editing, I had to scan it. Like, I can't face the thought of just, you know, they're having a laugh, are they? That's like, for me, I'm like, why would I listen to that? I would agree with that unpopular opinion.
I did want to prep for this because I had listened to this, but I was like, I'm going to do a bit more swatting up, and I put one on, and then I was as I was going to sleep, and I thought, well, if I fall asleep, I'll go back and listen to the rest tomorrow. But then Spotify was on like just running from one to the other to the other, and so I kept on waking up in the middle of the night to your voice, and then to somebody else, and then like falling back asleep again and going, what's weird, and then waking up and hearing like another like comedy snippet from a bit later in the middle. So basically, I had you all night long. It was wonderful.
Oh, lovely. Was I any good?
You were wonderful, darling. I mean, it was interspersed with some quite weird dreams, I have to say. It did mess with my head slightly, but, you know, it was an interesting night's sleep.
Amazing. And now you're going to be that for someone else.
Let's hope so. I'll just fall asleep to this again and see what it triggers.
I think most podcasts, there's too many now. I totally agree with you, Kendra.
16,000 new podcasts go live a week.
What?
Yeah. And what I hear is false hope and dream shattering. And that's what, when you drop that podcast, and I do actually listen to the Two Vegan Idiots. I've been on it, so I had to. And well, that's not the disclaimer, but that is, if you read between the lines when they send you the email, Carl and Julian, that it does say from now on, you have to become a patron and join in and donate. And you also have to listen. And I subscribe because that's the right thing to do once you've been on a podcast. But I listen to it when running, and it's quite nice. Like, depending on the guest, it feels like you're with that person. I think podcasts are great for that. But yeah, the mere fact that more and more are coming out, it's like a tree falling down in the forest. Does anybody hear it? That's what a podcast is. Does it make a sound? Yeah. A lot of podcasts don't in my world.
I fielded an unpopular opinion earlier on a Facebook group for open mic comedians that I was not willing to go to any open mics that I wasn't in.
And that's absolutely correct.
Why would you do that? Why would you put yourself through that on Zoom? Like, at least if you're in a bar, you can maybe roll your eyes at another comedian, at some new shit, and you're drunk in your own home.
There's loads of open mic stuff that is, I think, is an absolute nonsense. Like, I remember when I was an open spot, people would say, you should stay and watch the show, like, chat to everyone. And I was just like, get to shit. I'm there to do my set and learn how to do comedy. Like, I'm writing, I'm trying it, I'm going to go and analyse it afterwards. If there was a good headliner, I would stay and watch them because I was like, all right, I might learn something. But you don't learn anything from other open micers. You're on your own journey. Think about your stuff and yourself for the time being. And then when you start doing gigs where you're an open spot and you're with more experienced comedians, then start watching. Don't waste your time watching other open spots. They're all going to disappear anyway. That sounded more brutal than I meant. That sounded like a threat.
Kate's making a note of that. That was another of my unpopular opinions. When people were like, why is your comedy night so good? It's like, I pay a professional headliner to come and people wait for it. And if it's shit, it doesn't matter because it's good value. They don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear you paying your own money out for things. Like, that's not... And then they're like, okay, and they make a note, and then they just set up another bringer. That is what happens.
Although in saying that, and I'm not saying that Carl is an open mic or myself am an open mic in any way, shape or form, so I just want that to be very clear. But the last couple of gigs I've worked with Carl, I have left early, right? And there's
you
a thing
that,
where... Right? Yeah, well, there was one we did in a French... What was the French restaurant upstairs in the attic? I was with my girlfriend leaving, and we couldn't leave because the promoter, Sean, wanted to chat to us while Carl was on stage. Yeah. And Carl's doing that thing where, like, he's just, you know, rolling with the crowd, dealing with the punches. And he's like, bye, Tom. Just, oh, bye then. And it stopped the gig. But it's just like, what comics is even, not even leaving because someone should stick around, but the apology that you have to go. We have to go through that, yeah, the little merry dance that us comedians.
I think once you get to once you get professional, like, you don't, there is no rules of, like, I think no one expects you to stay. Everyone knows, right, we all got here. We've served our time. We can just leave.
But you still have to say it, though. You still have to go, hey, cut, I would love to stick around. But it's just, I've got to get some air. I just need to get air, or whatever the excuse is. You just have to come up with something to get out of the room.
I think we should start a, you know, we need to create a new thing where in comedy, if you want to leave, you don't have to make up a fact that you've, I've got, yeah, we've got something in the oven, whatever. You can just say, I want to go home, please.
But then
I'm
again,
I'm leaving. I'm out.
But this is contradicting myself and an unpopular opinion. I've got one about Marmite, which I don't mind it, which doesn't seem to go with a slogan. It's either love or hate, but I'm slap bang in the middle. Like, it's all right, but not too much. That's how I am. But now I've come to think about it. Lloyd Langford, another comedian, does Irish
goodbye. Keep getting suggested him on Facebook as someone I might know, and I'm like, I don't know him.
Oh, he's fabulous. He's a fabulous person.
It's exciting. Occasionally now on Facebook, I get like a comedian that I'm a fan of. I'm like, I could add them. They won't accept me, but I'll get the thrill of clicking that button. It's like when you used to poke people, like completely passive.
It's a little ego boost, though, isn't it? Yeah, Even though it's just a Facebook algorithm. You're just like, oh, well.
Oh, but stop flirting with me, Facebook. Do you know Richard Osman?
I'd like to. But he, Lloyd Langford, and this really annoyed me 2 years ago in New Zealand, because I thought he was going to the bar to get another drink in, and he was doing an Irish goodbye.
I love an Irish goodbye.
I cannot stand him. I cannot stand him.
Had he taken your order, though?
No, he hadn't taken the order.
He hadn't taken the order. So I would have been outraged if I was waiting for a drink from somebody who left. I would have gone to the house and got them.
That would have been next level, but I'm just needy enough where he didn't say goodbye. And I'm with the group of people and it's gone 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I went, Lloyd, it must be in the bar. And everyone was like, no, that's what Lloyd does. He just does Irish goodbyes. And I hate them because it leaves me anxious when they're coming back. Are they okay? I'm like a parent. Well, did they get home all right? Why couldn't they say goodbye? I started getting animated and irate about it. Thinking, it just takes a minute just to say goodbye. I'm not going to keep him here. I'm not going to be one of those stay for another one.
It's accumulation of minutes. So that's the thing. That's where the Irish goodbye, why I love it, is if you're on a group night out and there's 15, 20 people in a bar, or, you know, everyone sort of splits off into little groups. You've got to go around and say goodbye to everyone. It takes 10 minutes. Whereas
then
if you
someone
just
buys
leave,
you a shot and then you start the process again.
And 50% of them go, oh, don't go yet. Stay for another drink. So you end up having to have that constant conversation. No, actually, I really want to. So an Irish goodbye, just pull the cord, text everyone. I've left. So that's that. And you don't have to have any conversations. It's great.
You're such an adult, Carl.
But also, I learned it from a young age. It's actually because I'm from an Irish family, so I learned it from the best. You know, just never goodbye. Say goodbye. Just you're out. My parents, they did it when I was 5. Not seen them since. I think it's the Irish manage to be rude in the nicest possible fashion. That's what you learn when you're growing up with Irish people, and they, you know, that thing of just they've all, it's almost a national agreement that you can just leave, I won't hold it against you. And I think it's a really good thing to have.
That's even easier online, though, isn't it? So I had my birthday in the first lockdown last year, and we all had like an online party, everyone was dancing, and like all the old tunes were on. And then when it got to the end of the night, I was just like, it was brilliant. There was no drunk walk home. There was no waiting for an Uber. I was just like, I didn't even say goodbye. I just closed my laptop.
Oh, that's amazing. So that's it. That's the dream. It's the dream.
It was like, you didn't even say goodbye. You should log in and say goodbye. And I was like, no, I'm done.
No way.
Well, on the opposite end, though, if you're a polite person, I went to another friend's birthday and the quiz master got so drunk he fell asleep during the quiz. And he was just... He was just in the window asleep and we couldn't do anything about it. So we're all shouting like, Dave, Dave, Dave. And no one wanted him to wake up alone. Halfway through.
Probably had a few goose boons.
He definitely had some goose boons. poor Dave. I never knew who won, and I really tried, and I felt like I had it in the bag. So it's been about a year now, and I'm still thinking about it.
Does it still haunt you?
It does.
Still want to know, like, did I win? I must have won. I so nearly won. Not more. You, I think you should have won. I'm going to repay the favour now. I think you should have been the winner. And when I create another one of the 16,000 podcasts that's created each week, I'll invite you on as your prize. There you go. Repay the favour.
I would love that. I'm saying yes to all podcasts at the moment. I've actually signed up to a matchmaker service where you volunteer to be a guest on basically anyone's podcast. It's like Tinder for podcasts.
What hell is this website?
It's amazing and awful. And I feel like a whore. Literally matchmaker.fm.
This sounds like the end of the world.
Just a lot of sad people. Because I did a little call with one of them the other day, a pre-screening call to make sure that I was legit enough to be a guest. And he was like, I was like, oh, what's your real job? And he was like, oh, I'm a podcaster. I was like, oh, so you're unemployed. He didn't like that.
Oh, God.
I don't think I'm going on. I've been waiting for a date to come through. It has not come.
Most of you.
You like the idea of it. It's like a kind of roulette. Remember that show on the internet? Like you
chat roulette.
You get dropped into another podcast and you just appear. Hey guys, what's going on? We're talking about Loss. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm on board with that. And then you have to wing it, and then they boot you into another one.
I would so listen to that. That would be incredible. So much could go wrong.
I know at least two people that on chat roulette back in the day ended up chatting to Snoop Dogg. It's like, he apparently just loved it and he spent loads of time on it. So loads of people, when it first kicked off and it's doing the rounds, just ended up having a little conversation with Snoop Dogg.
That is so believable as well.
It sounds right up his street, doesn't it?
Yeah. He recorded special little videos for his tour because Cardiff wasn't selling. So he found loads of facts out about Cardiff, including that somebody had grown like the biggest marrow in the UK and like visited this man and made a little YouTube video about it. Still didn't sell out, but I appreciated the effort.
Like, he doesn't give a shit. And that's why I love the Just Eat adverts.
I've got so much time for people. Mariah Carey's the same. She will take money for anything.
Yeah. Love her. Love her. Did you see her Christmas special?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like Mariah Carey serving Mariah Carey on the Mariah Carey show. It was just amazing.
I've got a lot of time for those people who are just brazenly chasing dollar. More power to them. Anyway, should we do one last, but somehow the second category?
Your balls do go on, dear.
It's going to be a high-scoring game, guys.
Do you know what? I've seen less.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You mean we've started?
No, this is just the pre-screening.
Brilliant. Okay. So are you going to ghost me afterwards and invite somebody really on to the podcast? Fine. Cool. Great.
Fruit machine.
Fruit machine. Oh, my God. Yes. You can do it. You can play the fruit machine card.
Yes. I didn't. Somebody read the brief. Somebody listened to the previous podcast.
You're now my favorite person.
Didn't you say that somebody read the brief to the Just Eat?
Did somebody read?
Yes, I did. Brief? And that is a callback to the Snoop Dogg. He'll do anything to get more money.
And so, by default, probably with all of we.
They work so much better live, the cards. But yeah, so yeah, fruit machine. So for the people that didn't read my email,
I just read it now.
Tom has chosen to mess up all of the scores. So after this round, I'm going to jingle up all the scores. So if you were going to be the winner, you might not be anymore. He might get all the points for your stories.
Actually get some points now.
Yeah. I've got points.
Have you been making the same notes? Have you been taking note making, giving out points this whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's how this works.
Oh, yeah. But I've not noticed you make any notes.
It's a really...
Is it in your head?
Interesting.
No, I've been writing down.
Vix has been writing down. This is why, Kate, I've played the fruit machine for both of us, because I feel like Carl's unpopular opinion was really good and we didn't quite live up to it.
I don't remember what it was.
It was a long time ago now.
I think it started with something. Then we chatted about weddings for a bit. I don't know what happened.
Which is one of the potential topics. So so I carried on allocating points, even though it was off.
Oh, shit. Well, good.
The game is like VAR, live, VAR, live in a podcast game show. Yeah.
The game is a gimmick, so it's different from people talking about their feelings, guys, okay? You've rumbled me.
And so is it now that we come onto the feelings, we start doing a share?
It becomes therapy arcade.
Unpack.
I feel like we were going that way when Tom was talking about how he doesn't wash anymore and his girlfriend had to have an intervention, but we moved away from that.
Somehow swiftly moved on.
My point, my issue is, Kate, Vix, Carl, right, and everyone else listening. Yes, my issue
oh,
is
you know fact. All our names, well done. Yes, I Thank will you. Give you a point for that.
Reading off the screen.
That's a scoring point, is it?
Yes,
getting
it is.
People's names right. When the names are on the bottom left of everyone's picture.
On a day like today, Carl, yes it is.
They only appear when someone is talking, but my issue is I like to do a shower at the gym and they're shut, and I really am annoyed with the smart meter we've got in that tells you what your energy bills are doing as they go up, and the lockdown's just meant I'm paying more in bills, because normally, you know, I'd go to a nice little yoga class or something like that at the gym, have a shower, brilliant.
How and much does stopped. It cost so though on the meter, how much
more than it did before? And that's what's bothering most about the pandemic.
Pound a shower. What's
How
like
much,
the actual
though? Give us the cash value of a shower.
By the way, when I said that's the worst thing about the pandemic, I didn't mean like my energy bills out of all the things. It's a third more, Kate. All right. A third more. That's what it's coming in at.
That's why you got don't get a smart meter, mate. It's a con. They keep texting me.
Like, shut though? Your mouth. How much? How much do I have to crowdfund for you to be clean every day? Is what I'm asking you, Tom. I can pay it myself. Is it a Patreon tier?
I'm just turning into my dad in as much as when he go, it's like it's bedtime now. I'm like, yes, it is. I double check my watch. Everything's off apart from the fridge. I found out that that went badly, but everything's off. I'm like, let's say, and here's the irony. And I think you're onto something. The smart meter has to stay on at all times. That's adding more money, but not a huge amount. I'm playing more of the PlayStation. My girlfriend's at home teaching. It's just. Output, and I'm not saving some of that money by going to the gym for a shower and having a hot shower, whereas now I'm like cold. Anyway, listen, let's not get bogged down.
How much is the shower? You need
how much is your gym membership? Does your gym membership not cost more than all your electricity in the first place?
Can you put a price on Namaste? No, you can't, Kate. So that is that is priceless, and that doesn't matter what the and there's other classes I can join or look at. Not when I won't say look at, I look at the classes and go, no, that's not for me, and leave.
You don't stare through the window of the classes.
And about £80, Kate.
Right.
That's a lot.
For your gym membership or your electricity bill, just to clarify.
No, wait, hang on. Right. Latest bill for the last month, £85. Right.
That's about average.
It's about average. Is that gas just electric, or is it? Where's your gas at?
Gas
and electric combined.
That's not much at all, mate.
The average bill is £1,200 for a household. You've got the deal of the century there.
No, guys,
your girlfriend's probably freezing.
Do not make me come close to this. I'm not having this. Listen,
have a shower,
right?
You tight bastard.
I know, you have not justified this at all. Tell us your energy provider. We should all be on it. It's very cheap.
Utility Warehouse. Look, I'm not saying that they're really expensive or anything.
Yeah, it's not even a real thing.
No, it is.
It's a real thing.
I used to be an energy PR.
Did you light your energy by candlelight?
No, the guy comes along and he's got the money on the little thing meter and he puts it in and then he goes, you're sorted for another month, and then leaves. That's Utility Steve, he's called. I'm just thinking I'm just paying a bit much. Trying to keep the bills down. That's all. Fine. I'll shower more. All right?
You still haven't told us what the cost of a shower is, though. You've given us the monthly fee that you pay.
Break it down for us. We need details, damn it.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I've seen the errors of my ways. All right?
I just want to know how much money we've got to like raise for you on a GoFundMe for you to keep clean. Your girlfriend's a key worker. You owe it to her.
And look, guys, I'll get the breakdown. I'll tweet it. All right.
All right. I want to hear it now. I want to know about it. Because I'm also a personal finance expert, so I might be able to get it cheaper.
Is there no end to your talent?
I have PR'd so much shit in my life. My career has been a real shit show.
I was in awe of you before, but I mean now I just feel like I'm not even worthy to be in your presence.
Carl, were right, you Googling we do, utility
no,
warehouse?
No, stop no. it. We're going to do another category.
I wasn't Googling, just to quickly just clarify. Well, I was actually trying to crunch numbers on your energy bill. Worked out, if you base it on 31 days a month, it's £2.74 a day. So, you know, over the course of the day, your shower is only going to be about 25 pence. Okay, Tom?
Carl Vorderman popped in to do the numbers.
I know.
How much do you reckon we can raise for showers for Tom tonight if we all tweet?
If it's 25p a day.
25 pence.
Okay, look, I'll start. Tom, I'm going to put in a fiver, 2 days worth of showers. I'm putting it in.
That's not just showers. If you're putting in a fiver, that's buying him easily 2-3 weeks worth of showers.
I'm philanthropic, what can I say? I'm general.
Why is there we're doing this as a Patreon tier? Keep me clean, £3.
I think it's a good thing.
Can you do like little video montages of you in the shower to say thank you and be like, straight to the
grateful. That one's on OnlyFans.
Yeah, you have to pay more for that, Kate.
Really? Oh, damn it.
£5.
It was worth a try. Okay, £5.50 for the shower video deal.
Yeah. Oddly enough, £5 is you got the prize of your life. The best picture ever is coming your way.
I want the shower cap. Ooh. Little shower cap.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. Can you move us on now?
I was going to say, and the poll is guilty pleasures. I'm almost scared to ask.
Well, I started off the last question that we've managed to talk to about.
Yeah,
for
you ran that last
minutes.
Question yes. right into the wall there, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did.
It is related to washing again. I'm sorry. I don't have an issue with this. I'm missing stand-up comedy, as we all are, traveling away and using the hotel's bath. That is because I'm not paying.
Have you got a bath at home?
I do have a bath at home, but like,
it's not as good, is it?
No, because you're paying for it again. But also, it's not just that. Guys, it's not just that.
The bath? You add that to the crowdfunder?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But it's not just that. It's just seats. It's a bit of a treat, isn't it? Like, it's not your hot water. You can go to town, like, get a little bath bomb. I'll have a pamper. I miss having the pamper. I don't really do it at home. It's like I'm a hotel treat. Weekend away, but like, I don't know, say like the Glee or something, and I'm like, or the store in Manchester, which I did last year in January, and I was like, this is brilliant. I get a little facial, have this, just in the room, got nothing else to do, just
weirdly,
a little pamper.
The Cardiff Glee. They put you up in a hotel that isn't the greatest hotel, but has the deepest baths, right? And every time I'm in Cardiff, I always go treat myself to a weekend's worth of bath bombs. Yeah. And I love it. Honestly.
What hotel is it?
It's the Citrus Hotel.
And the windows don't open, which is really awkward.
Yeah. And it gets really hot. Yes. You're basically just trapped for a weekend.
You're really selling it. Windows don't open, it gets really hot and sweaty in there.
I will say, in its defence, the bath is deep enough to make up for all of those things, and the bed is massive, so
nice.
It's all right. But it's good location. But yeah, that. But I literally, the first time I get there, I get to Cardiff, drop my bags off, and I head to Lush. I go in, the usual place, 3 bath bombs.
That's exactly what I think. That's what I'm missing, and I didn't know you did it as well. It's just like a weekend away, pamper yourself, get ready for the gig. That's all you have to do is just kill time in the day and then go and deliver in the evening and have a fun time.
The best.
Face is done, like a little, what are those masks that already with the cut out?
Yeah.
Around like that. And it's
you sound like Mariah Carey on tour, sending her rider in advance, like.
Self-care. It's self-care. The Glee Club has got a stock of masks, all for men.
Yeah.
Living their truth. But
also,
no.
If there's a Whole Foods about, get a couple of cheeky nibbles. Treat yourself. Oh, go all out.
A pack of pucker tea bags.
Hey, let's next time we're doing the Glee together, Carl, we'll bunk up together. This sounds great.
Definitely.
Not the bath bit, but just
get an adjoining room. Just leave the door open the whole weekend.
There's a particular hotel in
Sleepers. Our baths together.
Sleepers in Cardiff is a hotel that has bunk beds.
Oh,
which is really fun if you are a 36-year-old child. So I booked it the last time I went home to Cardiff because neither of my parents live in houses that I want to stay in anymore. Sorry, Dad, who listens. It is true. He lives in Cambrian. No one wants to go there. There's nothing there apart from my dad, who's great. But yeah, Sleepers, I booked the bunk bedroom and they were like, who else is checking in? I was like, it's just me. Is that right? Yeah,
I just like options.
I was just really excited about it. I wanted bunk beds as a kid, but I was an only child.
Top bunk straight away?
Yeah, obviously. I'm not a mug.
Was it like full size adult bunk beds?
Yeah.
Not like little ones.
It was so good, but it's a really weird capsule hotel. It's like a Japanese style, like all the things that you need in sort of grabbing distance. So I was very close to the toilet. And it didn't have much of a door because again, there wasn't a lot of room for it.
That's like the Ibis. Clothes, so. Ibis Glasgow, classic. If you ever did a stand in Glasgow, the Ibis, they put you up in bed next to a sort of swinging door where the toilet is and the shower, and it's all like one, feels very like prisony.
Wherever you are in the room, you can see the toilet.
Totally.
I stayed in one of those after a friend's wedding, and I was a friend's wedding was a day before I had to fly early to go on holiday, so I knew it was going to be early start, and I was like, right, I'm going to stay right next to the train station. Stayed in one of these tiny like hotels right outside Cambridge train station. It was literally, that was like the bunk bed, like a slither of room floor, and then like the toilet and the door. And it was genius, because waking up after about 3 hours sleep, I was like a pinball around the room, and you just can't fall over, because whichever way you wobble, there's a wall or the bed or the bathroom. It was the only thing I think that kept me upright that morning. Didn't fit in the bunk bed though. 6 foot one, I am legit too tall for any kind of bunk bed.
Yeah,
and I think I remember waking up in the night with my feet through the bars and thinking I've been paralysed and was like, oh, what's going on? What happened to my legs?
Worst experience I ever had bunk bed was Edinburgh. First ever time I was up working in a bar and then doing like a few of the competitions and what have you. And stayed in this hostel where there was 9 bunk beds, and it was me on the top bunk, because they tell you which number you've got, and a German couple in the bunk bed right below me.
No.
But here's the thing. No one else was staying in the room, and it's like I was already on the top bunk and they came in, right? And it still traumatized me a little bit, the fact that they came in and they shared the little small single bed bunk bed underneath me, and it was an awkwardness of who's going to turn out the light for bedtime. That still is like, why did they bunk up together?
Yeah.
And why did they do it underneath me? Just move. No, anyway.
I went on a school trip when we were 15 and to Austria, and we all stayed in bunk beds. There was like 8 of us in a dorm, and my mate Niall was on, I was on a bottom bunk. He was on the bottom bunk next to me. All the bunk was in a row against the wall, and above Niall was a guy called Philip Ives. And Philip Ives finished a pack of Pringles, and him for a laugh thought it'd be funny to just throw it underneath at Niall, underneath the bunk bed. And he did it, and obviously he didn't know which position Niall was in when he threw it, and it managed to sort of go vroom vroom, and he like this, the end of the pack of Pringles just hit the bridge of Niall's nose perfectly and smashed it open. And it was one of the most brutal injuries I've ever seen live. Pringles on the bridge of the nose.
Injuries have you seen live?
Well, I've seen a few.
I've
seen a few injuries live. I've seen people get hit by cars that weren't as, like, it wasn't as traumatic as watching that Pringles pack land on the bridge of Niall's nose. Oh, it was just horrific. So the sound, I mean, I don't know if anyone can imagine the sound of a Pringles packet landing on the bridge of a nose, but it sounds exactly how you think it will. And it stayed with me.
Well, it's stayed with him as well, probably.
We've had a lot of moments of respectful silence.
That deserves another one.
That's my guilty pleasure, is the sound of a Pringle pack landing on the bridge of a nose.
Perfectly.
Long and short of that.
Are we all out of guilty pleasures?
I mean, we've got to go back to the power ballads, right? I mean, there's, you know, listening to power ballads. That's the one great thing about being at home.
He felt no guilt about that, Kate. He volunteered it immediately.
What?
Okay, hang on. So I do it again with guilt? Okay, I mean, I'm trying to sort of bring out the guilt now. I can't. I love it. What can I say? I'm loving a little kitchen disco for one, headphones on full, singing the power ballads, shoulder shimmying to a bit of disco, hoping the neighbours can't see me too much. Love it.
I want the neighbours to know.
Voyeuristic. I like it. Just like the closest. We can't go out and dance at the moment, so getting the headphones on, like, you know, flicking the lights on and off a little bit, having a little G&T, glancing up at my little cheeky slogan on the wall and feeling warm and fuzzy inside, and, you know, oh, she's doing it, she's discoing. Mm-mm. Honestly, a kitchen disco for one has got me through this lockdown. Love it. Air cabbing, in the mirror.
Do you know the song I Found Someone by Cher?
Oh my god, yes.
Absolutely.
I know it.
Ballad.
I do sheerobics with
Who doesn't is what I always say.
And they do those in Wales at the end of a pub night where they throw it through a window.
it's a legit gym membership that I pay money for.
Oh my god.
It's a very camp man singing and lip syncing to Cher and taking you through the hardest workout I've ever fucking done.
Really?
Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves nearly finished me off the other day.
in any other context, that would be a very hateful comment.
I'm going to award myself a point for that. And I'm really playing.
I love it.
But I think I might have told this story once before on a podcast. I don't know if I have, but
we don't listen to other podcasts, so it's fine.
Do you remember London paper? There was M3 papers for
London
a bit.
London Light,
it might have been. Do you remember they had a little section that said like I see something, someone you saw on the tube, you either fancied or they did something that cheered up your day. I once ended up in those because basically I was at, I think it was Kentish Town Tube Station. I came off the tube and I had my iPod on shuffle. And as I got into the lift, the door shut. It goes so silent in the lift, right? And at that point, it shuffled onto I Found Someone by Cher and it was really loud. So I didn't realise it was blaring out. And I'm standing in the lift and suddenly I just realised everyone was giggling. So I sort of took my things out and it was literally like, I found someone, like that. And then and everyone was laughing. I sort of giggled and went, oh, sorry, everyone. And then got off. And I told my mate that about sort of the next day. I was chatting to him on the phone. I said, oh, wow, man, I embarrassed myself at Kentish Town. And he said, and I told him, yeah, I was listening to Cher and everyone was laughing. 2 days later, he messaged me and goes, mate, get a copy of the London Light, whatever it was. He goes, and read the missed connection-y thing. And I opened it and it said to the guy at like Kentish Town who cheered everyone in the lift up with his terrible music taste, thanks a lot. And I was just like...
Did they quote Cher? Because that might not have been you. That was happening all over London. Cher is a good choice.
Give Carl the credit.
I think it's too niche. It was like a couple of days after Kentish Town, everyone laughed at me. I'm having it.
Well, I'm giving you more points for that because I disagree with them. But also I enjoyed the coverage that you got from it.
Thanks.
So. Shame on those people for dissing Cher. Who do they think they are?
I know. It's a great song.
Snap out of it. He says that all the time, the instructor. Usually when I'm like lying face down not doing the exercises thinking maybe I will get fit by osmosis. If I could turn back time, I would definitely not have committed to a year's subscription for this because it is not good value. Anyway, tell us what you're all doing. Well, I tot up the scores. It will not take long. We'll start with Tom Deacon. Where can we find you? What are you doing with your life?
You will be able to find me now due to the Patreon and the help that is going out there. I will be showering a lot more. You will find me doing that, cleaning. I will be, I don't know, actually. What am I going to do? There's nothing to plug. I'm just staying happy, mate. Guys, yeah, just whatever you're doing, staying happy. I'm posting every now and again from Instagram. I look back at old photos, traveling trips I've been on and just go, yeah, wait for Thursday, throwback. And that's kind of it, really. Just check out my new throwbacks because I'm not doing anything for previous years gone by. I think I've sold myself beautifully there. You're welcome.
What are your handles?
Oh, yeah. Tom Deacon Comedy. Some people have been unsure over the years what I do. So I put it in the handle and I think I've absolutely smashed it.
All right. Great. Cole, where can people find you?
Same. Social media.
On Tom Deacon Comedy.
yeah, Tom Deacon Comedy. You know, I just dive in there now and again. I've got the logins. It's at Carl Donnelly on Twitter, Instagram and that business. And podcast, me and Julian Dean do one, which is, it's now just called TVI. We sort of just abbreviated it because it sounds nicer. So TVI, and that is everywhere. You can find it on any of your podcast things. And it's us being very silly with a guest, and we've just released it's just going out as the 100th episode. We finally made it to 100, so we've got Al Murray on for a nice chat, so it's good fun.
And you unbox things on Instagram and I really enjoy it.
Oh yeah, I do. That's definitely a lockdown development. It's me opening my weekly odd box and basically swearing and reacting to fruit and veg.
It's genuinely
what
really
coffee
compelling.
Have you got here then? Ooh.
I've got my first ever odd box this week.
How good are they?
Amazing. I got way more than I thought.
Yeah, right, definitely. Coffee. I only get the medium box. I'm not sponsored by them. I don't get anything for it. I genuinely just love it. So I started doing these videos. I feel like they should start sponsoring me soon. It's
you
great.
Eat all the tiny apples.
Did you know what?
They were really small and they looked tiny. Like they'd be sour.
They were a bit annoying, actually. I didn't love them. I'm a bit sort of, me and my wife have got very different apple tastes. I like a big chalky apple. She likes a little crunchy tart apple. It's a miracle we're still married.
I got a lovely sized melon. I was quite surprised with it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I had to put a no melon rule on my odd box. I was getting a melon a week and I was like, I can't eat that, guys. Who do you think I am?
It's not sunny weather. I like it when Carl brings out a ginormous carrot and goes, ooh, look at the size of this. Look at the girth on that.
It is well saucy.
That tickled me for a
good day. I mean, the carrots are, just for listeners, genuinely, the carrots that you get in an odd box are like frighteningly large. So that's, you know, in my defense.
You should do a podcast about that.
I might do an odd box podcast.
If odd box is listening.
Yeah, get in touch. I'll do a weekly one where I'll review what I get. I love this idea. I like this. I'm going to go off and work on it.
And Kate, where can we find you? What are you doing?
My next big venture I'm about to launch, actually, is the Tom Deacon Showering and Basic Penance support group for his girlfriend to check that she's okay in these difficult times. So donations welcome. And on Twitter, I'm KateMartin_says. And on Instagram, I'm Pylon_81.
Why is that? Is it because you're tall, like an electricity pylon?
Well, my friend, whenever they go on holiday, they will send me a picture of a lamppost going, oh, I didn't realise you were here. And then my mate one day upped the game by sending me a photo of an electricity pylon going, look, everybody, Kate with no clothes on. And I was like, genius, got to take that.
I'm so glad that was the reason, because otherwise that would have been really rude. I've made a decision on why you're called that. Maybe it's just a childhood name.
What can I say? Tell us more about that, Vix. In fact, maybe not. Tell me afterwards.
I will. We'll talk later.
Following. Following now. Done. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Live. Great response.
Look at him. He's quick off the mark, isn't he?
Whoa, hang on a minute. No. I've read the bio. Lived experience. No, can you? No, I can't have you chairing my appeal for that. No, sorry. We're going to have to chat afterwards. I don't think you're the right CEO for this movement.
Have I been sacked already?
Oh my God.
This is like the fastest I think I've ever been fired.
It was like Sam Allardyce's England career.
Yeah. It's going to save me a job this weekend. Listen, I'll just help you on the Odd Box podcast then. Odd Pop,
cheers. Let's do it. This week we'll be reviewing my two Swedes.
Compared to your shower, Tom. Whatever.
Two Swedes. What are you going to do with that? I'm enjoying lockdown where I'm learning how to just use everything in the fridge.
It's the best.
This, carrot soup. Bosh, that's been done. Why? Because I've got some coriander left over and there's some carrots that are going off. Boom. But two Swedes, that's too many.
They're getting mashed.
How much electricity does it cost to cook a soup?
Ooh. All right, listen, I'm
you
not
need
a perfect
to get a
person. And I think you've learned this from this podcast. I am not a perfect person, Kate, all right? But you are definitely not the CEO now of pulling apart my... I stand by my ethics, all right?
She's not paying you that fiver then. Those showers, yeah. You're paying for your own showers.
It was £5.50, so I'm going to be retracted. But look, Tom, whatever happens, man, I can hear you having a difficult time. I'm always here for you. I'm still here, you know, when you decide that you've made the wrong decision. So...
thank you very much.
I'm getting your job back, Kate. You don't need to keep that tone up. Yeah.
So it looked like Tom was going to win, to be honest. And then he played Fruit Machine. And now Carl's won.
Yes. Yes.
You absolutely romped a victory at the end. I'm not going to read out the scores because it might be upsetting for everyone. So well done, Carl. A worthy win.
Thank you. It means a lot to have won based on Fruit Machine, which I did read after you mentioned it, Tom, on the email. So thank you.
Well, listen, can I just say, Vix, I really like, no one else can see this, but your eyeshadow matches your top. Love that this evening. And
I put the work in.
Well. You're welcome. I've been watching The Politician and they do it in every scene, all the characters, brilliant episode. Carl, love your attire as well. Kate, it's been a pleasure. I'll chat to you. I'm leaving on that. I'm very competitive and I'm furious about this.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Comedy Arcade. Thank you to all the panelists tonight. It has been a joy. It didn't go where we expected, but that is the beauty of the game. And you are now all free to go. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us anywhere you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't, I've been Ralph Little and Will Meller really, really waiting to cash in on their time on 2 bites of lager and a packet of crisps.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.